Natural Living with Gary Nall, Mondays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Nall Show. And now, your host, Gary Nall.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting live and streaming over the video live from our studios in New York City. I want to welcome all of our WPFW audience, all of our Progressive Radio Network audience, all over the world. We are the fastest growing internet radio station in the world. And what's nice is how many young people, about 90% of the people who are coming on board are young. And I'm communicating with a lot of them to find out why you're listening. What do you find of interest? And more, they are college, post-college. They're interested not so much in the health, interestingly enough, but in the social issues, environmental issues, and critiques and commentaries. They really appreciate it. So I thank you for your input. We will continue. Today, my guest in the second part of our program is Dr. Henry Emmons. He is an integrative psychiatrist, and we're going to talk about increasing our mind and body's natural resilience to confront depression, anxiety, and mental disturbances. We'll go to him in about 25 minutes. The latest on health and nutrition, including, time permitting, more in-depth discussion of SAMe. And some new human studies show that this is one of the best natural antidepressants anywhere. You don't know what SAMe is? I'll tell you what it is. And here's what I'd like for you to feed back to me about. Why Wikipedia leaks is either good or bad for democracy. This is from Bill Quigley, who we've had on this program from Common Dreams. After you hear this very brief commentary, I'd like for you to call in and share your point of view. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'll quote him. Since 9/11, the United States government, through Presidents Bush and Obama, has increasingly told the U.S. public that state secrets will not be shared with citizens. Candidate Obama pledged to reduce the use of state secrets, but President Obama continued the Bush tradition. The courts and Congress and international allies have gone meekly along with the escalating secrecy demands of the United States executive branch. By labeling tens of millions of documents secret, the U.S. government has created a huge vacuum of information. But information is the lifeblood of democracy. Information about government contributes to a healthy democracy. Transparency and openness and accountability are essential elements of good government. Likewise, a lack of government transparency and accountability undermines democracy and gives rise to cynicism. And by the way, that's according to a Harris survey commissioned by the Associated Government's accountants. Into the secrecy vacuum stepped Private Bradley Manning, who, according to the Associated Press, was able to defeat Pentagon security systems using little more than Lady Gaga's CDs and a portable computer memory stick. Manning apparently sent the information to WikiLeaks, a nonprofit media organization, which specializes in publishing leaked information. WikiLeaks, in turn, shared the documents to other media around the world, including the New York Times. Despite criminal investigations by the U.S. and other governments, it's not clear that media organizations like WikiLeaks can be prosecuted in the United States in light of First Amendment. Recall that the First Amendment says, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment or religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances, unquote. Outraged politicians are claiming that the release of government information is the criminal equivalent of terrorism and puts innocent people's lives at risk. Many of those same politicians authorized the modern equivalent of carpet bombing of Baghdad and other Iraqi cities, the sacrifice of thousands of lives of soldiers and civilians, and drone assaults on civilian areas in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen. Their anger at a document dump no matter how extensive, is more than a little suspect. Everyone, including WikiLeaks and the other media reporting the documents, hopes that no lives will be lost because of this. So far, that appears to be the case, as McClatchy News reported that the U.S. officials conceded that there had been no evidence to date that the prior release of documents led to anyone's death. The U.S. has been going in the wrong direction for years by classifying millions of documents as secrets. WikiLeaks and other media which report these so-called secrets will embarrass people, yes. WikiLeaks and other media will make leaders uncomfortable, yes. But embarrassment and discomfort are small prices to pay for a healthier democracy. WikiLeaks had the potential to make transparency and accountability more robust in the U.S. That's good for democracy. And that is Mr. Quigley. Those are his thoughts. What are yours? Give us a call. Our number, 888-874-4888. And I might mention that when we look back, we wouldn't know about Operation COINTELPRO that was started about 1955 to try to infiltrate and destroy the civil rights movement and its leaders, and targeted specifically Martin Luther King and others. We wouldn't have known about the secret Pentagon testing of radiation-laced toast on children in hospitals if it weren't for someone leaking the information. We would continue to believe in all these lies. Your thoughts. Now I'll go back to health nutrition till your calls come in, and then when the calls come in, I'll take them. 1 in 3 Americans will have diabetes in the near future. This is Free Press medical writer. Quote, unlike a bladder infection or appendicitis in which pain signals the need for immediate attention, high blood sugar is often easy to ignore, even as it slowly ravages the body. It can trigger plaque buildup in the arteries, and it puts the patient at risk for everything from blindness to kidney failure to loss of arms and legs, even death. But tell that to a patient who feels just fine. Quote, when patients are otherwise feeling well, it's much more difficult for them to take it seriously, as according to a Dr. Tolia, endocrinologist at a diabetes center. In addition to nearly 24 million Americans already diagnosed with diabetes, another 57 million people are pre-diabetic, as according to the CDC. And that means that they're walking around with blood sugars of 150, 200, 250 milligrams per deciliter, and yet they have no symptoms. None. Then again, do you remember President Clinton? No symptoms. Went in to get his physical, and he got a clean bill of health. And then 3 weeks later, he's rushed in for triple bypass surgery, or he would have died. The absence of symptoms does not mean that you are healthy. Antioxidants can check cancer deaths. This is from a study from the CDC, and it says the following. There's a plant chemical found in orange and dark green vegetables that can help prevent death from heart disease and cancer. High blood levels of alpha-carotene were found to reduce the risk of death by more than a third over a 14-year period. The antioxidant is chemically similar to the better-known compound beta-carotene and found in similar vegetables, especially carrots, sweet potatoes, broccoli, and spinach. In the study, it was associated with a lower risk of dying from heart disease and cancer individually, as well as all causes. Quote, carotenoids other than beta-carotene may contribute to the reduction in disease risk and their effects on risk of disease merit investigation. That's from Dr. Lee at the Center for Disease Control. So they took a look at 15,000 adults who were in this U.S. health and nutrition study for 14 years, and those that had the highest amounts of alpha-tocopherol had a 34% less risk of dying. That's big. And finally, orange juice lowers blood pressure and cuts the risk of heart disease. Quote, scientists have found that 2 glasses of orange juice a day can lower blood pressure and cut the risk of heart disease. They discovered that middle-aged men who drank 0.5 liter of juice a day for a month saw a decline in their blood pressure readings. That's good news. Findings confirmed the presence of what was in the orange juice. It is called hesperidin, and that is a bioflavonoid. You can also get it in coca and soy. And we know how bad high blood pressure is, so if there's one thing that can help us, hey, we should do something. So have your orange juice every day. Published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. One last little quick one here. Amino acids are the latest in a growing list of nutrients shown to extend lifespan. Researchers are zeroing in on a specific nutrients and natural therapies that can prevent and heal disease and also promote longevity. And that's good. University of Buffalo endocrinologists recently demonstrated for the first time that resveratrol, a phytochemical I've talked about many times on the show and found in grapes and plums and red wine, has very good anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties. And that also means it's anti-aging. Now comes word on top of that that add in another anti-aging nutrient. Italian scientists say they discovered a mix of amino acids is a life extender, at least in animals, and they believe it could do the same in humans. This was published in Cell Metabolism, the peer-reviewed journal done at the University of Milan in Italy. Quote, the study shows life-extending power of amino acids. And when I looked at the amino acids, gee whiz, these are easy to get. Leucine, isoleucine, and valine. These are called the branched chain amino acid, and they're found in most protein powders. But if you get a protein powder that says specifically with branched chain amino acids, that's even better. And it was able to expand the lifespan by 12% in this particular study. So that's good news. So for you bodybuilders and athletes, you're taking your protein powder, make sure you get the one that has the branched chain amino acids. All right. I'm Gary Knoll, and we're going to go to your calls now. Let's say hello to Rose in Washington, D.C. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Your thoughts, please.
My thoughts were, I can agree with Mr. Quigley about information being one of the most important things about democracy, and if we hadn't known about COINTELPRO or some of the other things that he quoted, certainly we would be a sadder society than we are today. However, I think that in light of that kind of information being leaked, was any of the information in WikiLeaks actually helpful in bringing more information to our democracy and making it more healthy, or did it just hinder our diplomats from doing their jobs abroad?
People
have to trust them with the information that they give them so that they can help negotiate, you know, our policies abroad.
Okay, fair enough. Let's just break that into pieces and see how much sense it makes, all right?
Okay.
What is our number one ally in the Middle East? Which country?
Well, it depends on who's saying it. You could either say Israel or Saudi Arabia.
Well, Saudi Arabia, we get money from. The latest arms deal was $40 billion. And we have sold them an average of $3 billion a year for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. We give Israel money. In fact, we're the largest donor to Israel. And no, in fact, the latest giveaway was that if they don't do anything rash by making any new settlements for 90 days, 3 months, we will give them $3 billion in new arms, free, as a gift. Now, how smart you have to be to figure out, yeah, we're not going to build another settlement for 90 days, but on the 91st day when we get our $3 billion, we're building a whole much more. And then, like North Korea, we'll do something stupid that is going to, okay, I can just see Obama. All right, what if we did another 90 days for maybe $10 billion? Okay, we won't build. This is the kind of nonsense that goes on. But who is the number one spyer of America? Which country has more spies and more activity at spying on America than any other country? Russia? China? Israel.
I don't know that information. You might know it. I don't know it, though.
Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel.
Okay.
Kind of interesting if you talk about, gee whiz, diplomacy is what we want, and virtually every country in the world has spies. we have thousands of spies. So every country has so much trust in each other that they all spy on each other. No, what the WikiLeaks did from my perspective, especially the first group, it showed us the truth of what was going on in Afghanistan. It showed us the massive corruption. Now, if you're a person who's asked to pay additional taxes, or part of your taxes is going for a program that is sponsoring terror, would you be as open about giving your tax money if you knew that it was going for terror? But our money was going for terrorists in Afghanistan. Here's how it was going. The Karzai government, which is 100% corrupt, you won't find an honest person in that government, and especially his brother, who's a big drug lord. The money goes then, it goes in two routes. One, it goes to private contractors who then supply security for trucks to get our fuel at $400 a gallon to go from point A to point B, so that on those bases that we have all over the country, they'll have fuel. But the Taliban, realizing what a way to make a deal, says you can't come through this area. We'll blow up your truck or we'll detonate the road unless you pay us. So the security firms and say, okay, how much you want? And then they come to an amount, but it's in the millions and millions of dollars. So who pays those millions? We do. So who are we paying it to? To the Taliban. So the Taliban then has an enormous amount of funding from the United States to buy more mines and weapons and to bribe people and chiefs so that no matter what we do, there's always a blowback. But we wouldn't have known that. Now we do. We wouldn't have known that it cost $100 for Halliburton to wash one single duffel bag of dirty laundry for one GI for 1 week, when it should cost 50 cents, not $100. Now we do. We wouldn't have known that trucks that had any problem at all are simply pulled over the side of the road and detonated. $100,000 truck. And there are hundreds of these trucks that have been just demolished and left. Now we know. So once we know that we have not made the progress that we've been told, and once we know that the real reason that the surge worked had nothing to do with Petraeus, it had everything to do with the geopolitics in Iraq and with Mukhtar Sadr, who I said will be the most powerful person in all of Iraq within the next 3 years, when he finally finishes becoming a full mullah, like his father, and an ayatollah, and then returns to Iraq, and he will then be the spiritual leader. And since they are dominantly Shia, they will go towards a Sharia law, and they will have a theocracy. So what is going to happen to all this money, now estimated to be $3 to $5 trillion, according to Dr. Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize winner, who recalculated his own figures of $1 to $2 trillion. Now it's $3 to $5. What will we have gotten for all that? All the dead soldiers, American, all the dead civilians, Iraqi, all the displaced civilians, Iraqi, the destruction of their infrastructure, all the dead wounded soldiers, and the cost of helping those people, all the depleted uranium exposed to everyone, all the vaccines in those individuals' bodies, none of which were ever tested, ever, not a single test of what all those vaccines would do in a person's body over any period of time. Now what do we get for it? Nothing. Now remember that at some time in the future when John McCain or one of these other dinosaurs come by, or one of the paid-for talking head brass out of the Pentagon gets on Fox, gee whiz, why should that surprise us? And no divulging how much money they're making from some multinational corporation to be there and tell us how safe the world is and how we've given up our rights and constitutional rights for safety. And then ask him, but didn't the documents show that we knew and you knew that we were losing and couldn't win and we were doing the same thing that the Russians did, and now we've equaled the length of time Russia has been in there, just not as many casualties? They had 15,000 casualties over 9 years and 50 days. And what was this for? It had nothing to do with national security. But we wouldn't know any of this unless there were documents telling us the second story, the truth. We live in an illusion. We live in a bubble. We live in a bubble, a hologram. I did a commentary on it yesterday. Did you hear my commentary yesterday? Rose?
Sorry, I'm sorry. I put you on mute so that.
Did you hear the commentary?
I did.
Okay, that virtually everything we are taught is taught to us by people who want us to believe in them.
Right.
And unfortunately, the American public has been extremely trusting, but also naive. So if nothing else, we get to see the truth, and then we can make up our mind. And that's what gets them angry. Now, the same Justice Department, the same Attorney General Holder, who now wants to go after WikiLeaks, and they want to go after whistleblowers, and they don't want anyone telling the truth about any of our black op operations, our dirty tricks. Now, by the way, we wouldn't have known about Blackwater gunning down the innocent people, including a reporter from that helicopter, unless that had been leaked. Now, here's the issue, and so think well on this. Why can't this Justice Department go after Bush and all of the neocons for lying about getting us into this war to begin with in Iraq?
I'm with you on that.
Okay. And yet we've had document after document show that, and here's something you should know. I reported on this program prior to them declaring war, and at the same time that Judith Miller was in the New York Times telling that she had this contact, I identified her contact, said how the German Secret Service and our own internal CIA showed this man was a fraud. And yet, that person was a plant from Cheney's office through Chalabet. And by the way, at what point did anyone in the United States say that Chalabet, who was getting all the money in the lead-up to the war with his Iraqi National Congress, was a convicted felon, embezzling $100 million out of Jordan and had been convicted in absentia? Since when does the United States do business with terrorists like him and convicted felons who should have been remanded back to Jordan to serve his prison term? Instead, he has pranced all over Washington with Cheney and Scooter Liddy and the other individuals, and then he creates the plant, and that becomes the justification for going to war in Iraq. We reported that, and no other media in the United States did on this program. So understand something.
I do remember that, and I think that, you know, in terms of that situation, you know, and a lot of the things that you're saying about the leaks that we were given under the past administration, I think that, you know, without arguing at all, I agree with those things. I just wonder if the blanket leaking of documents that are classified justifies doing it all the time. I mean, why not just have them use an email system and forget about, you know, having private talks at all, and everybody in the you know, why have diplomats? Why not just have reporters or somebody else do negotiations if none of it can be private?
Well,
I'm not sure that I agree with that blanket, you know, leaking of information.
Okay, well, it has nothing to do with good diplomacy. Good diplomacy, even if exposed for what you say, is non-harmful. You're simply trying to resolve an issue. And it's no surprise that Saudi Arabia, which is Sunni and Wahhabist, and one of the largest groups of terrorists and Al-Qaeda, have been fermenting in Saudi Arabia. And that's where remember, don't forget about 9/11. The majority of them came from Saudi Arabia. So what you have is you have to distinguish between good diplomacy and diplomacy that has to lie to the American public. If you've got to lie to the American public, then what kind of diplomacy are you engaged in? And when bankers have to lie, and everyone in government agencies lie, then what would happen if they told the truth? We're supposed to be a country of reason and of laws. We have no laws that these people are held accountable to, so they can commit any crime they want. They can break international treaties. If you told the average American this is against the law, international laws, for them to do this, and if they continue to do it, at what point do we say, how tolerant can we be of this? So I say get diplomacy done, but stop hiring the ambassadors you hire. These are a bunch of flukes Remember, who becomes an ambassador? Whoever's successful enough in business and contributes the most to political campaigns. That's who becomes an ambassador. Why don't you take Chris Hedges?
Those are not the only ambassadors. There are lots of career ambassadors that don't give money to anybody, and they become ambassadors.
But those are not the superstars. The ones that get the choice positions in England and France, those are your high-end business people. Why don't you get the most progressive-minded people who are very competent in international relations and put them in a position so they could negotiate? We never put progressive-minded people in a position to negotiate because of one fear. Progressive-minded people are going to look for the truth, not just the alignment of ideologies. And I'm concerned that we do not have progressive-minded people in these positions. We have either career diplomats, as you correctly stated, or we have political people who are there for a point of time. It's a nice ego trip for them, but it doesn't resolve issues. When we have someone like Galbraith, who was a great diplomat, and he told the truth, we saw what we did to him. Now, and he was dismissed and discarded, and yet he was right on about everything he said. In any case, I appreciate your comments, and thank you very much, Rose, for calling in and sharing them.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments as well.
Let's say hello to Louise from Northern Virginia. Hi, Louise. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks. Information isn't enough. The power structure doesn't care how much information is leaked because you can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about it. The Iraqis can't do anything about it. The Afghans can't do anything about it. It's a chess game for the oil pipelines. Even if you had a progressive diplomat, it wouldn't matter because the power is on. The power game is for the oil lines. And you can only be effective if you refuse to pay taxes and if you discredit the legal system. And the minute you refuse to pay taxes, you're not going to find a single lawyer to defend you, not even the most progressive lawyer, and that's the only way you can go for the jugular. So you're stuck. Information you can figure out. You don't need the WikiLeaks. You can figure out what's going on there.
Well, all right, let's break down what you said and see what we can make sense of. I fully agree that what we do not have in the United States right now is the voice of the voiceless. We have approximately 150 million Americans who are at, slightly above or slightly below the poverty line. These individuals do not have a voice in Congress. These individuals also, these individuals are not represented by the corporate voices of both the Democrats and Republicans. So their needs are not being met. They're being asked to make greater sacrifice. So at some point, they will continue to believe in the power structure that I believe you're absolutely correct, is far, far more in control of virtually all of our processes than any progressive mind could deal with. So I do believe that you're correct. If we only had one progressive politician or one progressive, you know, diplomat, it's not going to make a difference. But I also believe that it's not just about not paying taxes. I believe we could do things that are far more critical in a constructive way. And here are some suggestions. One, take all of your money, all your savings, out of any mainstream corporate account. So Chase Manhattan and Morgan Stanley and Citigroup and Bank America and Wells Fargo, get your money out of those and go towards small credit unions and savings alone. That's important. That would make them feel. Secondly, they get their money at 0.2% from the Fed. That means it costs them zero. They then turn around and charge 28% to you. That's an astronomical amount of profit they're making. It's 2,800% profit. Now, what if you simply stop using credit cards? That would mean you would have to restructure your life. It would mean you would only use cash and you would only buy what you needed. The big downsizing in America is not about disemploying people. It's about disconnecting as much as you can, within reason, off the frontal grid of our economy. Because our economy now is no longer sustainable in its current form. Yes, there'll be massive profits made in the energy cartels, the farming cartels, the medical industrial complex, including insurance and for private corporations. Absolutely, they will make money. But most other corporations will not. So if you then stop buying anything that is made outside the United States and only buy what you need and only buy what is grown or made in the United States, and there's plenty of products and plenty of services right here in the United States, then you re-strengthen the local effort. And then do not vote for Democrats or Republicans. Seek out the Greens, the Constitutionalists, the Libertarians, the Peace Party. Seek out those who are progressive. I had hoped that the Tea Parties would do that. I certainly repeatedly said do not dump them all in the same container because they don't deserve that. I've met the hundreds, thousands of them. I wanted to see who they were. I didn't want to trust that that the people like Rosha Maddow or Keith Olbermann were objective, and they were not. They were using their own bias to denigrate an entire group of angry people. And I found that some were way off the scale, but the majority were not. They had reasonable concerns. But the Koch brothers and others and many people within the Republican movement and Sarah Palin managed to provide them with organization and a voice. And that was a mistake. But a lot of them did not have anyone progressive out there leading them. We need now to have a joining together of those people who have common thoughts, irrespective of their background, who are thinking independently and off the grid. Start thinking off the grid. Start becoming more independent and look at something for what it is, not how you've been told it is. Think of things in a way that give you solutions, not just focusing constantly on the problems and how you feel about the problems. Buy locally. Buy organic. Eat what you need. Stop eating in fast food restaurants. Stop supporting that industry that gives you foods that are not good for you. Care about your health. When you care about your health, mentally, physically, and spiritually, you're no longer susceptible, as you would have otherwise been, in being exploited by that profit-making center that commodifies you and sees you as nothing more than a profit stream. Do the same for your children. Don't just accept when they're, oh, you got ADD or ADHD. Don't just accept that. I've sat with children who've been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD, and I ask a simple question. Do you have problems focusing in every class? Oh, no, he gets A's in his class. He has no problem. Well, how is it that you could have a brain chemical imbalance that is on full alert on some classes and completely normal on others? Then it's not due to that. Then you start seeing about what the person's bored by, and how can the world inside of a classroom, unless you have a unique teacher, compete with the overstimulated world of a virtual reality in the outside world? We didn't have that when we were growing up. But today they do, and we must take that into account before we automatically diagnose them and put them on some class 2 drug, like Ritalin. So the more you can do to be positive and affirmative and to show you're not just a lemming, you're not just going to go along with everything everyone else is, and turn off the television and turn off the cell phones. And when you sit with your family and go out, put time together for quality of life time. No cell phones. You know, you don't have to be connected every second of every day so that you're always accessible. Make yourself inaccessible. Have a dinner. Relaxed. Spend time with your friends and family and loved ones and your pets as if that mattered. It does. So you see, you may think that these are not that radical, but indeed, economically, they're very radical. And they will adversely affect the corporate structure if enough people begin to try this. Those are just some thoughts. Louise, thank you very much for your call. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment with our guests. Please stay with us.
Girl, try to remember when we didn't have no shoes. We stuck together, just me and you. Got today.
like to welcome you from all over the world. My guest in this segment is Dr. Henry Emmons. He is an integrative psychiatrist who blends cutting-edge neuroscience with holistic therapeutic models, including natural therapies and mindfulness and insight meditation and compassion, all in order to enhance the mind and body's resilience to depression, anxiety, and stress-related conditions. He is the founder of Resilience Training, that trains other health professionals and laypersons in an integrative approach to mental health. And his program is offered through the University of Minnesota. And he has written two very well-received books that introduce resilience therapy, The Chemistry of Joy, and more recently, The Chemistry of Calm. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Gary. I really appreciate being here.
Good. In many ways, one of the miracles of our bodies and minds is that we have a remarkable inherent mechanism in place to restore ourselves when we are confronted with adverse mental conditions like depression and anxiety, and to fight disease. And you focused your work on this resilient quality intrinsic to all of us. So I'd like you to first share with us a bit of the scientific understanding of the resilient nature of our minds.
Yes, thank you. Most people think that mental health is some kind of mystery, or that it has to be achieved through taking some kind of a prescription medication or seeing some kind of a professional. But really, I have come to strongly believe that we are by nature resilient, and there's a lot of science to support that. You know, the stress reaction or stress response that causes so much trouble for so many of us is a completely natural thing if it has a chance to calm down after it's gotten accelerated. So my work is really to try to help people recognize their healths and their strengths and the normal nature of stress and how to confront it in really healthy ways so that their body and their brain has a chance to recover from it.
Okay. Well, if you look around you, I'm sure where you're at, you see this all the time. I certainly see it here in New York City. We see people who are not doing well when it comes to depression and also anxiety. And it's reaching an epidemic proportion, including affecting small children. In our very uncertain economic and social climate, when so many of our assumed safeguards are being ripped out from under us, such as health care coverage and our jobs and homes, more and more people are living anxiously in a future of impending doom. So share with us, please, some of the brain chemistry and main physical mental symptoms and the long-term adverse effects associated with anxiety.
I think the biggest difference between our relationship with stress and anxiety now as compared to our ancestors is that it just doesn't let up. And the kind of sociological factors you just mentioned are one of the reasons for that. Also, you know, a lot of what we do to constantly stress ourselves is voluntary. So just being constantly busy, on the go, being always connected to cell phone or other electronic devices, it all contrives to make us be at least a little bit stressed all the time. That is not how we're designed. It's just not how we're made to be. So whether it's something voluntary or really outside of our control, the real key to this is to recognize when we're getting into trouble with stress and anxiety. And as you mentioned, it is a huge common sociological problem. But to recognize when it's become a problem or is heading that way, and then be able to really skillfully learn some means to allow that stress response to calm itself down.
You can, you've created a model for the body and mind and heart's resilient aspects, which can be used as a therapeutic tool. So let's introduce our audience to the particular part of ourselves that apply, like our body and our mind and our soul or heart. Could you go through those in sequence?
Sure. I think of the sources of distress, or I call these the enemies of joy, as falling into a few primary categories. So there's chemical imbalance and toxicity, which is mostly a physiological or body-related phenomenon. And then what I call the mind run rampant, which relates to our how we are affected by our thoughts and our emotions if we're not paying attention or learning to have some skill in that area. And then thirdly, it relates more to the sense of spirituality or connection or what I call the soul, where people feel really disconnected and isolated. And in the practice of psychiatry, unfortunately, we've gotten so focused on a very narrow range of who we are as human beings. You know, primarily psychiatry today is looking at a few chemicals in the limbic system. Those are important. But in order for us to really recover, you know, regain and keep our balance, we really have to attend to all of who we are as human beings. So being able to really give the body what it needs and feed the brain with what it needs to be able to produce the chemicals it's wanting to produce the way that it normally does, through diet and nutrition and perhaps a few nutritional supplements. And then being able to really work with energy, the energy of the body through good, healthy movement and exercise, something that people used to do just in the matter of course, through the work that they did, but now we have to be really conscious about that. And then thirdly, with regard to the body, really paying attention to the natural cycle, to the rhythms of rest and activity, sleep and wake, and even the seasonal changes that many of us are experiencing now are meant to go through cycles, and to be able to do that with some skill really helps us to maintain our balance. And then in the realm of the mind and the emotion, I consider that the two essential skills to be learning to calm or settle the mind, working with your thoughts, and related to that, working with your emotions, turning toward the emotions and developing some skill with those, even the unpleasant or difficult emotions. And then finally, working at the level of soul or spirit or heart, I consider the two essential practices there to be cultivating a good heart, learning to open, learning to be able to expand your capacity to reach out to others, and then also creating a real sense of connection and belonging in our lives, which is so very protective against the stresses we all face.
Very good information. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on and sharing this.
Oh, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Dr. Henry Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S, medical doctor and author of The Chemistry of Calm. I'm Gary Nall, coming back in a moment with Sammy for depression, great natural antidepressant, and your calls. Anything you'd like to call in and ask questions about or share your thoughts on, please do at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We have 10 minutes to go in our program. I hope to get a lot of information in, and I'll take as many calls as possible. Now, for those listening in this audience who don't know, I do a six-hour program each Wednesday morning. If you're on the East Coast, it begins at 3 a.m. and goes to 9. On the West Coast, from midnight to 6. I take on some of my hardest issues, and because it's the middle of the night or early morning, I take on commentaries longer than what I would during the day. For example, tomorrow morning I'm going to talk about a crisis is an opportunity. Is there any way that the global depression was created for a global government by elites? What is the proof of that? Then you've seen George Bush, President Bush, on numerous programs being interviewed. I didn't see any critical questions. So we're going to talk about the two most essential, abhorrent, intolerable lies of George Bush's memoir in detail. And when I do that commentary, you're going to go, oh, yeah, why didn't anyone ask him about that? And finally, our national, transnational homeland security state and the decline in democracy how both Democrats and Republicans are allowing our country to take away our rights. Long commentaries, plus I take a lot of calls. So hopefully you'll join me tomorrow morning. Before we go over to our calls at 888-874-4888 and give you the latest on SAMe, a nutrient that can help you with depression, Kara Lee, our program director for the Progressive Radio Network, just stepped in the studio. Hi, Kara Lee.
Hey, Gary. How are you doing?
Great.
All right. Well, I just wanted to come in and make a quick announcement to everyone out there that everything we do here and everything that Gary does, we keep updated not only on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and GaryNull.com, but we also have Facebook, and Progressive Radio Network has its own Facebook. You can find it online, and so does Gary Null. And so Gary keeps that updated himself, and we always put up Gary's guests and topics that he's going to be talking about every day, along with videos and articles and information that we find helpful and relevant and pertaining to the topics that we talk about here. So it's just a great way for you to log on and join us and just get more of the discussion and really also put your input and your thoughts out there as well.
What I like about this is initially I didn't like it, and I even told you to take it down after the first month. I said, people are saying foolish things like Facebook would be, oh, I got my hair done today, or I just went out to pick up the newspaper. Oh, I think I'm going to watch this on. I don't care about any of that. I mean, that's just trivia. I wanted something that would be socially dynamic, sharing information to independent and progressive minds that really has substance. There are gazillion sites you can go and just talk about nothing. I wanted a place that people talk and shared relevance. So then I said, if you don't have anything relevant to share, don't come onto the Facebook. All right? If you have something relevant, do. And so we have dozens of videos you wouldn't see anywhere else put up there each day, and news stories and activists. It's really a potpourri of wonderful minds from all over the world sharing insights and things that you wouldn't have otherwise known about. So it's become the most progressive website I'm aware of, and thousands of people are on there every day.
Yeah, so you can check it out, as I said before. You can just search Gary's name, and it'll pop right up, or you can search the Progressive Radio Network. And, you know, the other great thing about it, too, is it'll include links as to how to find Gary's show or other shows, and so you can definitely check it out and find out a lot more information there.
And more of our investigative reporting articles, too. Thank you, Kara.
Thanks, Gary.
Now, I'm going to take your calls in a moment, but I promised you information if you are depressed. And this was a nutrient that was shown in a National Institute of Mental Health double-blind placebo-controlled trial that evaluated whether SAMe, S-A-M with a small e, would make a difference in major depression. And what was found was Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital gave patients 800 milligrams of SAMe twice a day, along with a selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drug. Relative to placebo, the patients who received SAMe showed a 105% higher response and 121% higher remission rate. And that is an enormous difference. And this study was published in the American Journal of Psychiatry. Well, in a follow-up pilot study that showed greater benefits when antidepressants were combined with SAMe than drugs taken alone. Then the question is, will SAMe work on its own? And the answer, once again, is yes. There's many good studies showing that it also works on people by itself. See, in modern high-tech imaging studies of healthy brains, SAMe produces effects typical of several classes of antidepressant drugs. But unlike those well-tolerated drugs, SAMe's has remarkably few side effects, is well-tolerated, even in elderly people, and people with depression might exhibit a variety of biochemical imbalances, but the most common and best known has to do with neurotransmitters like serotonin, which is involved in your mood and sleep and appetite and learning, and norepinephrine, involved in heart rate and blood pressure and fight-or-flight response. With these chemical messengers belong to a class of molecules known as monoamines, and their synthesis in brain cells are largely controlled by the presence of folic acid, B12, and SAMe. And when released into the space between brain cells, the synapse, monoamines exert stimulants or inhibiting effects on postsynaptic neurons. And with too little serotonin or norepinephrine available, the brain cannot sustain a positive mood and depression results. And virtually all antidepressant drugs work to boost levels of these neurotransmitters within the synapses, and therein lies many of their limitations and the cause of their side effects. But SAMI operates through a completely different mechanism than these drugs. A molecule derived from the sulfur-containing amino acid methionine, SAMI is found in ever increasing amounts if you supplement with 800 milligrams in the cells and plays a central role in cellular function. In addition to being required for monoamine synthesis, it also affects cell membrane fluidity, which may in turn influence how well a neuron transmits an electrical signal. And recent studies have shown that SAMI is also involved in the so-called epigenetic control of cellular function, the ability of cells to activate or suppress specific genes based on environmental influences. So it's very important, it's safe, and it works. Now let's say hello to Bill from New Jersey. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm doing great myself, and I have to say that listening to you daily is like having an opportunity to learn something new. I often find myself taking notes, and on more than one occasion I've gone back to actually go back to the archives and be able to go painstaking, because, like, for example, just recently you had the Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
Well, you kind of speak through it. You know, I had to go back and research that because that's important, you know. But at any rate, just two real quick things. When earlier today, when you were talking about how cayenne can stop a heart attack
at 90,000 heat unit,
right. I've known about that for a while, and my mom had a stroke about a year and 3 months ago. And when she did have the stroke, I immediately ran and got the cayenne, got some warm water, shook it up, and I think gave her a little bit more than a teaspoon. But it really, really helped her get on her feet, and we went to the hospital. But when I heard that earlier today, I had a smile about that. But the reason why I was calling is that recently I've noticed that in working with garlic, I had a growth on my forehead that was unsightly, and I was kind of concerned. It's one of those things where at times you'll consider going to a skin doctor. And I just, for the heck of it, I cut slices of garlic and I attached it with like some tape. And over the course of about maybe 4 or 5 days, it just disappeared.
Not surprising. Historically, garlic, raw garlic, made into poultices and bee propolis and honey have been used to pack in wounds to help prevent gangrene and also to help with warts, which are viral in nature, and to help prevent infections. So it's, remember, you have allicin, you have a lot of phytonutrients in garlic. So what you did is not surprising to me. It's no different than in cold and flu season, taking some raw garlic, putting it into a juicer, and then it's a little strong, so you also put some wild oregano oil, olive leaf extract, about 1,000 milligrams, maybe a tiny bit of colloidal silver at about 100 parts per million, and then with bee propolis, but not the tincture. It's too sticky, but just as the powder. And then you drink that down with some green tea, preferably about 500 milligrams, and it just coats your throat, but also, along with zinc, it will kill the bacteria and viruses in the throat. Makes an enormous difference. So simple things to do that we can and should. And, Bill, thank you for calling in and sharing that with us.
Oh, thanks, Gary.
And by the way, are you getting your mother hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
You know, we're having a hard time finding a place that's close by. Like, Long Island is kind of far distance for her to go, and we're trying to find a place that's close, but they want to do it for wounds, but they don't want to do it for a stroke for some reason.
If you've had a stroke within 7 years and you take hyperbaric therapy, it can help repair the brain. And
I'm sold on it. You know, it's a question of finding a place that will accept.
Well, there's a Dr. Calipi that does it on Long Island, but I don't know anyone in New Jersey, but I'll ask and I'll look around it for you. Do I'll put it out
maybe
on the air.
Maybe okay? I can call him, Dr. Calipi, too.
Yeah, call him. He would know. All the best to you. And we have 1 minute before the show's over. I want to thank all of you for listening today. And hopefully tonight you'll be with me for any part of that 6 hours. Again, if you live on the East Coast, it's at 3 o'clock, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and up to 9 a.m. lots of commentaries, different topics, in-depth discussions, lots of phone calls. It's a very relaxed show. And we shared this with our sister station, KPFK in Los Angeles, for 25 years. So hopefully you can tune in. If you miss a show, please go to the archives. We have tons of programs there on the archives so you can catch up. And that's just progressiveradionetwork.com. We're out of time. Have a nice day, everyone.
Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kemp. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Carol Lee.